You are listening to the O Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, CW. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to hit that bell on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcasting app. Let's recap Raw, folks. It was a decent show. Decent enough. Let me start this episode off by saying I think there are too many pay-per-views / PLEs going on. I feel like we just came off of SummerSlam and we're already at Bash in Berlin. There wasn't a ton of time to kind of build any stories towards this program. I suppose Gunther and Randy Orton got their stuff together. We're still riding the CM Punk and Drew McIntyre train, which is still a decent train, but I mean, CM Punk has to win in Berlin for their rubber match at Bad Blood to make any sense. So that's kind of a moot point. He'll drag Drew McIntyre's big ass around the ring and in the strap match and he'll win. Or if he doesn't, then the cage match makes no sense at Bad Blood, if that is the plan. I don't really remember any other matches for Bash in Berlin. Who else is wrestling? Is Liv? Liv is not defending her belt. Neither is Nia. I think the tag team championships are on the line, I think. I don't really know what is happening this weekend in pro wrestling, in WWE pro wrestling. But yesterday's Raw was a go-home show for that pay-per-view / PLE. I don't know why they changed it to PLE. I'll never call it that, seriously. I'll always say it, you know, mockingly. It's a pay-per-view. You pay, and then you view. But Raw happened, and it was fine. There were some highlights. There were some middling stuff. And overall, it was just an okay show. I think I enjoy Raw as almost comfort food. It's nice therapy at the end of the day. You have a long day. The house goes to sleep, and then I sit up and I watch professional wrestling. So all Raws are great to me. But before I kick it off, let me shout out WWE.com, the team that works at WWE.com. They work hard. They get up a lot of content really fast. It's all formatted really well. I want to know what CMS they use. And this is just getting into nerdy design nonsense, but just understanding the mechanics of putting up content on a CMS platform. If it's not streamlined, they're probably doing a lot of work. But it's WWE, so I assume that it's, you know, built to shove a ton of videos and images up and format them well. So, but still, they're working really hard basically every day to get content up on the homepage. So shout out to them. I'd love to see what that workflow is like. And I say that because I'm currently on WWE.com to remind myself what happened on the show and we can talk about it. At the top, it's the full match of Uncle Howdy versus Chad Gable. I was happy with the finish, but I'm starting to see the cracks in the Wyatt Six only because such a, I don't know, how would you classify this group? Menacing? Their intro to the company was them beating the shit out of everybody backstage, bloodying and killing Chad Gable and destroying Gorilla and then coming out and introducing themselves. Then we hear that they got WWE contracts, so they're allowed to be on the show. And somehow they control the production truck and all this. Just the logistics of their group is very fantastical. Not supernatural, fantastical. And now we've got Uncle Howdy Wrestling, aka Bo Dallas, and it was a good match, but some of the mystique gets sucked out of the room when your fantastical, mystical character is doing human things, right? Uncle Howdy wasn't going to lose, obviously, and it makes the American-made Chad Gable story a little pointless because there's no drama yet, right? All the drama is on Chad Gable, him reacting to getting his ass kicked week in, week out, right? He's just gotten beat up. No, there's been no repercussions on the Wyatt Six, and there can't be. You can't bring a group like that in and have them lose at all for a very long time to establish them as a credible threat. But my question is now, what are they threatening? They've beat up American Made every week for 2 months. Now what? What is their goal? What do they do next? I understand that they're targeting quote-unquote false prophets, or just people who take advantage of their families, I guess. But who's next, right? What is the next program? Because Chad Gable can take a bunch of losses. The man is over. He's great. He's established himself. He's not, you know, in any danger of not being as over as he is. He's just that good. But where do they go from here? I'm interested to see what the long-term plan for this group is, because it feels very niche and very kind of the moment. And if they don't have wrestling goals, you know, if they don't transition their spookiness into professional wrestling things, like they want tag gold, or Bo wants an IC belt, or, you know, Nikki goes after the women's title, I don't see the point of the group anymore. They can have stories, you know, if their stories are, we want to beat up quote-unquote false prophets, that's great, but who else fits that bill the way Chad Gable fits the bill? You see what I'm saying? What is the next step? If there was like a lot of heels out there just beating up on their own factions, this makes sense. They become like enforcers for the weak or the persecuted, which would be great. But again, I don't know who fits that bill other than Chad Gable. Maybe they move across NXT and SmackDown and kind of take on a different sets of people. Who knows? There were some triple threat matches for IC in the IC tournament. I love this. I love tournaments. I've said that before. I think you have to earn your shot versus call your shot. And so far, Jey Uso and Pete Dunne have earned their shot. Again, we come to another week where the New Day slowly move towards their split, or Xavier Woods moves toward his inevitable heel turn. And hopefully that leads that band down the road to a singles title. Who knows? I don't know. But this is one of those very long-term stories that I'm just like, all right, get to the point at this point. The New Day didn't move forward in their split this week besides voicing the same sort of issues that they had before. I'm all for, slow build, but this build is a little stale, especially because it was Karrion Kross who put them over, and he's just never great. I'm trying to find something positive about Karrion Kross's character, but him, Final Testament, that whole group, it makes no sense that they exist because all they do is lose. Zelina Vega came back, helped out Damage Control. Damage Control is purely a babyface team now, which is confusing to me. I wonder how Dakota Kai is going to fit into this when she gets back from her injury. Zelina Vega, always fun to watch, but she's one of those professional wrestlers that needs an IC belt tournament or a US championship tournament, or head back to NXT and take on I forget her name, Kiana, I can't remember her name, the North American champion. She needs to get into that position, something. We need Zelina Vega wrestling for a title, and since she won't be in the main title picture, she needs something else. And lastly, Randy Orton was left by himself to sell the match with Gunther. He's not going to beat Gunther. It's too early. We all know this. It's all coming down to whether or not the shenanigans that Gunther wins by, which would be bad. So I foresee a clean pin, and then Randy goes back to SmackDown. I don't know. Anyway, good episode of Raw. What did you think? What parts did I miss? I missed a lot, actually. Let me know in the comments. Thank you so much for listening to this 10-minute podcast. I appreciate you, and don't you ever forget.
I'm your friend, but if I ever see you in the ring, I can beat you. Don't you know? Yeah.